Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelow
and Sophie Kessler. Hi, guys, and welcome back to the Mind Mastery and Manifestation podcast. We are so excited to have you here today as we are going to be diving deep into this wonderful topic of secondary gain. Bum, bum, bum! And so this is one of those things where if you have had the opportunity to watch the previous episodes, amazing. If you have not yet, I would highly, highly encourage going back to episode 6, talking about human needs, because this is going to be one of the big pieces that we're going to be sharing with you today for this topic. But more importantly, also looking at really understanding vehicles, which I believe we covered in there as well. So if you have not had the chance, make sure that you do go back and spend the time to watch about the last first 10 episodes before we do jump into this one. My words are all mumbled today. So as we dive in, we've got some stories to share with you, and I'll let Dan take it away.
Yeah, so the whole idea of secondary gain, as we hinted at in the last episode, is where someone holds on to a problem because the perceived benefits that they get from the problem itself are greater than the perceived benefits of letting it go. And I gave the example of a friend of mine in college who would smoke, even though he started coughing. He started developing a persistent cough, knew that it was unhealthy, also knew that he wanted to quit, but wouldn't let himself quit because, funny enough, that was his way to meet women. Because he would go out, bum a smoke, and he'd have a great opportunity to talk with her. And he was just a charming guy, so that was his in. And I think he still smokes to this day. Now he's like firmly, squarely hooked on it. But it sounds kind of funny to say that someone is holding on to a problem because they're actually getting something from it. But I've been there. A lot of my clients have been there. Sophie, I'm willing to bet that you've been there.
We've all been there.
It's a human thing. So as we go through this, please just be compassionate with yourself and be open-hearted with yourself. Mm-hmm. And understand this isn't a bad thing. It doesn't mean you're stupid. It doesn't mean you can't make sense of things. It doesn't mean you're illogical. It doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. All it means is that you've made a decision to get something, and that thing has probably served you very well. Mm-hmm. That's why you chose it, you know, either consciously or unconsciously. And It did you a favor for a while, and maybe it's time to let it go, and that's all. And maybe it's been a little bit tricky for you to let it go because of the benefits that you've gotten. And in this episode, we're going to give you all the tools that you'll need to identify these things called secondary gains and what you can do.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing too, as we start to dive into this topic, is it's also understanding the mechanics of secondary gain, shall we say. And what we briefly mentioned in the previous episode is that oftentimes that secondary gain tends to be something that's outside of our conscious awareness. And more so it's in our unconscious mind, right? It's something that our unconscious mind is getting and it loves it. But consciously we're like, I shouldn't be doing this. This is really bad. I don't know why I can't stop, or I don't know what's going on with me. So it's giving yourself permission, number one, to step out of your conscious, rational, logical, beautiful mind and step into that unconscious mind and really start to listen and understand and ask the questions, right? What am I, if in any way, as crazy as it sounds, are there any benefits to having or keeping or maintaining this behavior? And so one of the biggest things that you'll find is when it comes to secondary gain, there tends to oftentimes be a need that is being met through that behavior. And so when we're looking at, again, going back to episode 6, the 6 human needs, right, off of, I believe, Tony Robbins and, help me out here, Dan, Maslow, There we go. We're sharing it on their concepts of this. It's really understanding that at a core level, human beings, and this is all across the board, no one is left out here. We all have these innate needs. And so it's looking at if a behavior is meeting needs, then that behavior becomes the vehicle for that specific need. Now, what's interesting about secondary gain is oftentimes at an unconscious level, something that has worked over and over and over again. For instance, the smoking cigarettes. Every time we smoke the cigarette, it meets that need for what we should say, connection and certainty. He knows that when he smokes that cigarette, he has absolute certainty that he is going to be able to go and talk to somebody and that connection that he's going to have with them and have that connection. So it's interesting to see, okay, here's the behavior, the vehicle, and here are the needs on the other side of that. And what's interesting is a lot of times people have a hard time letting go of that vehicle, that behavior, because they have this elusive idea that that is the only way to meet those needs. And so it's starting to understand the mechanics behind the behavior or the vehicle to what that need is and what are other vehicles that you can create to meet the same needs in a new way.
So taking a page out of my life, I spent a lot of my life kind of viciously depressed. And that made me feel really small and unimportant and not special at all. And so my need for significance was not being met in any one way at all. So what I started to do unconsciously was use my depression. That in my mind, and I wasn't aware of this at all for a very long time, but in my mind, having a big problem and maybe even building it up to be even bigger than it was a way of me feeling even more significant. Having big problems is an easy way to inflate your significance. And so I got to a point of really almost not wanting to let my depression go. I mean, this was the only thing that was giving me that sense of significance. If you took that away, what would I be? And I had to find other ways to feel that, to have that need met, other vehicles, so that I could let the depression go in a way that would make me feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And this is huge because oftentimes, if what's interesting is some people will make this mistake where they say, okay, you need to stop the behavior. And this is where when you see like people relapse, especially like with addictions, right? They stop the behavior, but then those needs aren't being met anymore. So what do? They go right back to that behavior, even worse, something on top of that behavior to meet those same needs again. So it's so, so important that before you change the behavior, you need to find another way to meet those needs that original behavior was meeting. Otherwise, you're going to start to feel a lot of angst, a lot of what should we call resistance in maintaining that behavioral shift. So this is where, again, guys, it's understanding the mechanics behind it that are so powerful in helping you really be able to create sustainable change, not just, oh, okay, you stop the behavior, but there's still that craving, right? When you meet those needs from a new vehicle, from a new way, you find something outside of the current vehicle and ideally within yourself to start to meet those needs, then you are able to really let go and free up that energy and you're no longer attached to it and you're able to move forward without the resistance.
So weight is another one that often comes with a lot of secondary gain. Mm-hmm. Men and women have different reasons for holding on to weight or building weight. I had a client who, during one of my workshops, we were talking about secondary gain and I was giving example after example after example, because I think that's really the best way to learn this is to hear as many stories as possible until something resonates with you. And he just had this breakthrough during the workshop. And he told me that he didn't understand for a long time why he couldn't let go of the weight. He knew what to eat. He knew to exercise, but he just wouldn't do it. And when I asked him why, he said, well, he's a single guy. And when he would go and talk to women, if they rejected him, and he was certain that they would, but he said, when they reject me, he would be able to scapegoat onto his weight. He'd be able to say, well, they rejected me because of my weight. And that would make him feel okay because he could understand that. He could get that. It was something almost separate. Like his weight was like not a part of him. But he felt that if he lost the weight and he went and got rejected by a woman, then she would be rejecting him. He wouldn't be able to blame it on anything else. And he would feel terrible because then he would have nothing to blame other than himself. And so he held on to the weight. And what we did was build up his sense of self, build up his confidence, transform the way that he thought and felt about himself so that he knew that even if he got turned down, it wasn't really him. It really had nothing to do with him. And even if it did, it wouldn't matter because he'd be able to use that for a learning purpose and he'd come back even better and even more confident, even more charismatic. And actually what happened is he didn't really get rejected after that at all because he was a great guy. He just needed to believe that. He just needed to see that and feel that. And once he did, he could let the weight go. And it fell off remarkably fast. And we see that with women as well, where they hold on to weight because they feel they need protection.
Yeah, huge.
They feel that, yeah, I mean, it's easy. Reading the news every day, it seems that there's some other predator in power, some other guy acting despicably. And for a lot of women, maybe it's just easier to pack on some pounds so that they can minimize it because they feel that, hey, if they're attractive, they're going to be attracting a lot of this attention that they want no part of. So you can see other ways of having these needs being met, safety and security, significance, love and connection, and ways to start unraveling this, at least to be aware of it first.
And again, just to remind you guys, the secondary gain that comes from the unconscious mind. It's not that we see the news and we think, oh, I should gain some weight so I can protect myself. We don't think that at all. We're probably on a great diet plan and have an awesome trainer, but we keep self-sabotaging because at the unconscious level, that's what's going on. So it's just recognizing that, okay, what's an area of my life or something that I'm working on or working towards where I'm not necessarily moving at the pace I want, or I feel like I'm self-sabotaging. And a great example that I'll give you for my own life is about 18 months ago, before I was really able to take off with business in any way whatsoever, I had this huge challenge where it seemed like nothing I did would work as far as marketing, as far as going out and meeting people. And every time I would try anything, I was just like, oh, it's just not going to work. And what was interesting is I started to avoid doing things. I started to avoid actually taking action, avoid going out to networking events, avoid hopping on client calls, avoid finishing the funnel, avoid doing all of it. And I would tell myself, well, I'm just not good at it. I'm not a techie person. It's just not my trade. And I would hide behind this elusive story that it's just not me. I'm not the problem. It's just that stuff. But what was interesting, and this is something that I had to work with a coach on, is getting into, and they asked me this question. They asked me, what would happen if you did finish it? And what would happen if you were good at it? And I was like, well, shit, then I would have more success. Then I would have more clients. And they said, well, then what would happen? And then I would be making more money. And then what would happen? And then I would, the people that I love most wouldn't want to be around me because people who make a lot of money are terrible people. And that was where, holy crap, a huge monumental shift for me because it was realizing that the procrastination and the lack of action that I was taking in my life and my business, it had nothing to do with the systems or the strategies or the fact that, granted, I didn't have the tech skills that a lot of people have, but I was unwilling to go and take action and take responsibility to go and learn it because unconsciously I was protecting myself and holding on to the love and connection by staying broke, by having this problem and by sharing this problem with the people around me because they could understand it. And if I were to ever get to that level of success, then it would be painful because I had this belief or this idea that if I made that much money or if I had that success that they wouldn't love me anymore and I wouldn't be able to connect with them anymore because we wouldn't be on the same page. And so understanding that and recognizing that was a huge first step and then starting to create other possibilities outside of that and disprove that belief.
I love that because I struggled with a lot of secondary gain as well, building my own business. And what I find a lot of times is that the secondary gain we experience has to do a lot with our identity.
Mm-hmm. Huge, yep.
And if you want to review our episode on self-image, that is episode 9. And notice there that Sophie's secondary gain had to do with her identity, that she is this kind of person and she was a wealthy, successful person, then she wouldn't be able to have the life that she has. She wouldn't be able to have the love and connection that's going on. And there are a lot of times in which who we believe we are or who we believe we're not is the source of our secondary gain. Like my client, who didn't believe that he was awesome, didn't believe that people would want him, want to connect with him. And so in order to protect himself from that, he created a problem that he could scapegoat. Mm-hmm. And it's like another one of my clients, we were working on developing emotional freedom. We were letting go of emotional baggage. And we started with anger, because I realized this guy, a lot of pent up anger in him, and it was coming out. It was coming out with his clients. It was coming out with his friends and family. It was just coming out. And I asked him, hey, is it okay? Close your eyes and listen in. Is it all right with your unconscious mind to let go of all of that anger? And he said no. And he said that the anger gave him strength, that he needed to fight for what he wanted. He needed to use that in order to attack his problems, in order to fend off the people who would steal from him. And see how he's developing an identity for himself here as a person who would have to do that. And so the reasons for holding on to the problems all came from who he thought he was and what kind of life he would get from being that kind of person. And so, the first step was awareness. And then we unraveled that for him, and he could let that anger go. And I think that's a really useful process there that you brought up, Sophie, is asking, well, okay, what if you did? For him, it would be, well, what if you did let go of the anger? And he said, well, people would take advantage of me. And there, boom, you got a clue, right? What else would happen? Or what would happen after that? And you can keep asking yourself this. In fact, that is your task for this episode, is to be able to identify any secondary gain you may have. Look, if you don't have any, awesome, you're killing it. But if you do, it's good to be aware of it. Because sometimes just being aware of it is enough to give you the chance to change it, right? Because then you could take responsibility. And if you need to, you can review the last episode about responsibility and accountability for change.
Yeah.
And then you can change it for yourself. So find a problem. Find something that has been tricky for you to change or overcome or just delete, right, from your life entirely. And then ask yourself, well, if I was successful in doing what I wanted to do, what would happen? And then what would happen? And then what would happen? What else would happen? And keep digging until you find something that could be an obstacle for you, mm-hmm. that could be an unwanted consequence.
Yeah. And another great question is, I'll oftentimes ask this, and this ties around the identity, is what would that mean about you? And this is where it's like, oh, well, if I were to do that, that would mean that I'm actually good at doing this. Okay, well, what would that mean about you? And as you start to go down that road, you start to find the inner belief. It always, it tends to come down to some unconscious beliefs that we have about ourselves and who we think we are, which, as we've talked about in previous episodes, is really just something that we've created around everything that's happened and the limitations of what we can really experience. So as Dan said, really, really take the time to think and give yourself permission to really explore your life, what it is you really want, if there's a next level and you're trying to get to it. As you're looking at where you are right now and where you want to be, what are some of the things that need to happen that maybe haven't happened yet or are not happening at the pace that you would prefer them to? And start to ask those questions. What would happen if it did? What would this mean about me to get to that place? And you'll start to find those beliefs that are underneath that have to do with who you think you are. And as you start to do that, you can start to really do the change work. And we'll be diving more into this on the next episode, actually. So on how to really start to change and shift that identity of who you believe you are. So you can start to create a more sustainable behavior and really get rid of that resistance.
Yeah. So make sure you do these tasks that we give you in these episodes. We're not just giving you tasks just for us. It's so that you can really start getting a handle over these processes, these techniques. You get an even deeper awareness of what's going on and the results. Because like you said, Sophie, we are getting into some heavy duty change work coming up. We're going to give you all sorts of amazing processes and techniques you're going to be able to use to start shifting these things. But hey, step one is being aware of what you want to shift. So I think that's enough of a tease for the next episode. We're so excited to have you with us. Can't wait to see you at the next episode where we talk about shifting identities. Until next time, guys, have a beautiful day.
Awesome. See you then.